Does DMT cause the near-death experience? There's no direct evidence that it does. DMT is a 5-HT2A psychedelic that occurs naturally in the brain in trace amounts. A landmark 2018 Imperial College London study, Timmerman et al., found that intravenous DMT produced experiences statistically comparable to real near-death experiences on a standard scale. A striking resemblance. But resemblance is not mechanism. We do not know that the brain releases DMT in meaningful amounts at death. It has only been shown to surge in dying rats at levels of unknown significance. The old idea that the pineal gland floods the brain with DMT at death is quantitatively implausible and unproven. Meanwhile, the dying brain shows its own dramatic activity, a surge of gamma waves that needs no DMT at all. The truth? An intriguing, measurable resemblance sitting on top of an unproven hypothesis. Education, not medical advice. Across every culture and century, people brought back from the edge of death tell a strangely consistent story. A sense of leaving the body, a passage through darkness toward a brilliant light, a flood of peace, sometimes a meeting with beings or departed loved ones, and a border they somehow knew they must not cross. For decades, one neuroscientific idea has captured the popular imagination above all others, that this whole experience might be the work of a single molecule the brain makes itself, N,N-dimethyltryptamine, or DMT. It is a seductive theory. It is also, as we will see, only partly supported, and the honest science is even more interesting than the myth. This article is education, not medical advice. We have covered DMT itself and the pineal gland in depth elsewhere. Here the question is narrower and stranger. Is the molecule that produces the psychedelic breakthrough the same one that carries us to the threshold of death? Let us follow the actual evidence and be honest about where it stops. The spirit molecule and a beautiful hypothesis. The modern story begins with psychiatrist Rick Strassman. Between 1990 and 1995, at the University of New Mexico, he ran the first legal human psychedelic research in the United States in roughly two decades, administering about 400 intravenous doses of DMT to some 60 volunteers. Many described being catapulted into vivid, otherworldly realms and meeting apparently autonomous beings. In his 2001 book, Strassman gave the molecule the name that stuck, the spirit molecule. Strassman went further, proposing a bold hypothesis that the pineal gland, the tiny, mysterious structure Descartes called the seat of the soul, might synthesize and release DMT at pivotal moments, including birth, mystical states, and death. It was a poetic idea that seemed to unify psychedelics, spirituality, and the dying process into one elegant picture. Strassman himself, to his credit, always labeled it clearly as speculation. But the idea escaped into popular culture and hardened in many retellings into fact. It is not fact. Holding it up to the light is where the real science begins. Wikipedia, Rick Strassman. UTW Psilocybin Mushroom Treats. 2018. Putting the resemblance to the test. For years, the DMT NDE link rested on anecdote. People simply noticed that DMT trips sounded like near-death experiences. Then, in 2018, a team at Imperial College London, led by Christopher Timmerman and Robin Carhart-Harris, did something clever. They gave 13 healthy volunteers intravenous DMT and a placebo on separate days, and afterwards had them complete the Grayson Near-Death Experience Scale, the standard 16-item questionnaire used to measure real NDEs. Their paper was titled, precisely, DMT Models the Near-Death Experience, Timmerman et al. Horace, 2018. The results were striking. All 13 volunteers scored above the threshold that defines a near-death experience. 15 of the 16 items scored higher under DMT than placebo. And when the researchers compared the DMT scores against a matched group of people who had reported actual near-death experiences, the two were statistically comparable. There was no significant difference on 15 of the 16 features. On the deepest marker, a sense of unity with the universe, a brilliant light, overwhelming joy and peace. The DMT state and the real near-death state were almost indistinguishable. But look closely, and the honest picture sharpens. The one feature that clearly differed was arriving at a border or a point of no return. Real near-death experiencers reported this far more strongly than the DMT volunteers did. DMT also produced less of the life review and out-of-body separation that many NDEs feature. In other words, DMT reproduces the emotional and perceptual color of the near-death experience beautifully, but not its full narrative arc. The authors chose their verb carefully. DMT models the near-death experience. It resembles it. That is not the same as saying it causes it. Is DMT actually released when we die? This is the crux, and it is where enthusiasm has to meet honesty. For the spirit molecule theory to be true, the dying brain would need to flood itself with DMT at psychedelic levels. Does it? The most relevant evidence comes from the lab of Jimmo Borjigin at the University of Michigan. In a 2019 study, her team confirmed something remarkable. DMT is genuinely present in the living rat brain at nanomolar concentrations comparable to the classic neurotransmitters serotonin and dopamine, and the brain contains the enzyme, INMT, needed to make it. Crucially, they also found that DMT levels rose significantly in rats after cardiac arrest, Dean et al., 2019. At first glance, that looks like a smoking gun for the death hypothesis. But read the researchers' own careful words. It is unknown, they wrote, whether those concentrations are anywhere near enough to produce the effects of a psychedelic dose, and unknown whether the same surge happens in humans at all. A measurable rise in a rat is a very long way from a brain-flooding psychedelic event in a dying person. And notably, the same study showed DMT production is not dependent on the pineal gland, quietly dismantling the most famous version of the myth. The pineal flood, a myth that doesn't add up. The popular image, the pineal gland unleashing a torrent of DMT at the moment of death, runs into a hard wall of arithmetic. Pharmacologist David Nichols, one of the most respected chemists in the field, laid it out plainly. The pineal gland is a minuscule organ that produces only about 30 micrograms of melatonin per day. A psychedelic dose of DMT is on the order of 25 milligrams, roughly 1,000 times more, and it would all have to be made and released in seconds, then survive the enzymes that normally destroy DMT almost instantly. As Nichols put it, it is simply impossible for the pineal gland to accomplish such a heroic biochemical feat. Strassman himself, examining human pineal glands, found no DMT in them, Nichols 2018. This does not kill the broader idea. DMT is made elsewhere in the brain, as Borjigin's work shows, but it does retire the specific romantic image of the pineal third eye flooding us with spirit molecule as we die. The truth is subtler and less cinematic. The dying brain has its own fireworks. Here is the twist that often gets lost. You do not need DMT to explain a vivid experience at death. The dying brain does something extraordinary all on its own. In a landmark 2013 study, Borjigin's team recorded the EEG of rats undergoing cardiac arrest and found a surge of highly synchronized gamma wave activity in the first 30 seconds after the heart stopped. Activity exceeding the normal waking state, Borjigin et al., 2013. Gamma waves are associated with conscious information processing. A dying brain, far from simply switching off, appeared to briefly light up. In 2023, the same group reported a human echo. In 2 of 4 comatose patients withdrawn from life support, a similar surge of gamma activity and connectivity appeared as they died, Xu et al., 2023. The scientists were scrupulously cautious. You cannot ask a dying patient what they experienced, and the sample is tiny, but the finding is provocative. The near-death experience may be, at least in part, the felt signature of the brain's last intense burst of activity, no exotic molecule required. And it might not be DMT at all. DMT is only one candidate among several, and not obviously the leading one. A range of ordinary physiological processes can produce NDE-like features. Elevated carbon dioxide in the blood has been linked to more intense near-death experiences in cardiac arrest survivors. Stimulating the temporoparietal junction of the brain reliably triggers out-of-body experiences in the lab. Intrusions of REM sleep machinery into waking consciousness are more common in people who report NDEs, and perhaps the strongest chemical rival to DMT is ketamine. The dissociative anesthetic, which blocks NMDA receptors, produces states that people rate as more semantically similar to real near-death experiences than almost any other drug. The psychiatrist Carl Janssen built an entire ketamine model of the NDE around exactly this resemblance. What all of this tells us is humbling. The near-death experience is probably not the fingerprint of one molecule, but an emergent phenomenon. The mind's response to a brain under extreme stress, shaped by oxygen and CO2, neurotransmitter storms, and the architecture of consciousness itself. DMT may be one voice in that chorus. It is almost certainly not the whole song. Why the resemblance still matters. None of this makes the DMT-NDE connection trivial. Quite the opposite. The Timmerman finding is genuinely important because it gives science something rare. A safe, controllable, reproducible model of one of the most profound experiences a human being can have. If a 15-minute infusion in a lab can reliably reproduce the emotional texture of the near-death experience, researchers can finally study that texture. All its neuroscience, its lasting psychological effects, its capacity to reduce the fear of death and without anyone having to nearly die. That is a real gift, regardless of whether DMT is what actually flows at the end of life. And there is something quietly moving in the resemblance itself. Whether or not the brain releases DMT as it dies, the fact that a molecule we all carry can open a door onto the same landscape that the dying report suggests the near-death experience is not an alien intrusion, but something latent in the ordinary human brain, a capacity we all carry, waiting. The honest bottom line. So is DMT the spirit molecule that carries us across the threshold of death? The truthful answer is, we do not know, and the current evidence says probably not in the simple way the myth suggests. DMT experiences and near-death experiences are measurably strikingly similar, and that much is real and important. But there is no proof that the human brain releases DMT in psychedelic amounts at death. The pineal flood story is quantitatively impossible, and the dying brain has its own dramatic activity that needs no DMT to explain it. The resemblance is a clue, not a conclusion. In the end, the near-death experience remains one of the great open questions of neuroscience. And the DMT hypothesis is one beautiful, unproven thread running through it. OOTW Journal is educational and does not provide medical advice. DMT is a powerful, illegal, Schedule I psychedelic that is not a tool for exploring death. And this article is not a guide to using any substance. Near-death experiences and questions about mortality can stir up profound emotion. If you are struggling, please reach out to someone you trust or a mental health professional. If you are in crisis, contact a local emergency line or the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, U.S. This article is education, not medical advice.